I'm going to welcome you to the Neville Goddard Prosperity Pack. My name is Mr. 2020, and I do want to thank you for being a member of FreeNeville.com. So what I want you to do is we're going to start this course with two introductions and an experiment. And these will set the stage for everything that you're going to learn and how you apply it. Because it's not just what you learn that's important, it's what you apply. Remember, Neville talks about three stages. The first stage is the stage of stones, the cold, hard facts. That's the lowest level. He talks about whenever Jesus made claims about himself, what did the people do? They prepared to stone him with the facts. We know who you are. We know your parents. We know your brothers and your sisters. How can you say you know Abraham? You know, if you're going to make changes in your life and assume change has happened, you're going to have to deal with the stones, quote unquote, the facts, quote unquote. And we're going to explore some of that. And as we explore that, even at the beginning of the recordings here, remember, there's stones, there's water, and there's wine. Stones are the facts of life. Water is the mental understanding that imagining creates reality, the mental understanding of why it's important to enter in a state akin to sleep if you're doing your feel it real sessions and you want change to happen in your life. You know, there's an intellectual understanding of this stuff, and that's all water. That's what Neville refers to as water. But we have to convert the water into wine. And water into wine is taking it and actually applying it, you know, the spiritual transformation, the spiritual principles. You know, wine is a spirit. And, you know, when we look at the symbology of wine, it comes down to we've got to do our sessions. We have to do them effectively. And we need to learn how to generate in our bodies, in our minds, and in our lives the feeling that the wish has been fulfilled. That is what opens the door, and that is what creates the change. So let's start with the experiment. And the experiment's very simple. What I want you to do is to take a $10 bill, a banknote, you know, and I want you to put it in your wallet. I want you to put it in a special place. Get a brand new one. Get a brand new $10 bill and place it in a special place in your wallet. And what I want you to do is to promise never, ever to spend it. This is what we call your attitude money. Now, this is very different than an emergency stash, and it's not your fun money to spend on whatever you think you might want, whatever you think might bring happiness into your life. This $10 banknote, you know, brand new if possible, this is your attitude money. And this is the best $10 you will ever invest in your life. Now, before we get into, you know, why we're doing this or how it works on things, you know, some of you have already asked, well, what if I need to spend it? What if I'm down to my... Now, first of all, trust me, you don't need to spend it. You will never need to spend that $10 if you choose not to. If you choose to have your $10 attitude money, it will change your life. And you will never have to spend it. But just that thought, just thinking that you might have to spend it, oh my God, what if something happens? That demonstrates how forceful poverty thinking can be inside your life. So first, I want to thank you. And I want you to thank it, you know, thank that kind of thought when it shows up for teaching you a lesson. Wrestle it out of your mind. And let's dive in. So you've put $10 in your wallet in a special place, and that's your attitude money. In the next 30 days or less, I want you to add another $10 to it. And again, notice if you've got some crap showing up around that, that's where it gets fun, right? In the next 30 days or less, I want you to add another $10 to it. In other words, I want you to double that. I want you to have now $20 in attitude money. And we call it attitude money because it feels good to know that you have money that you will never, ever need to spend. You're never going to be broke again. You're always going to have money. And literally anchoring your sessions, anchoring your attitudes into the physical world. This is something that shows up in Neville's lectures time and time again. And it's something that, again, what does Neville say to do? Neville says to walk in the assumption of the wish fulfilled. And if you're going to walk in the assumption that I have enough money, I have money that I'll never need to spend, I am financially secure. You know, you need to back that up. Neville says don't do anything to make it happen, but he does say walk in the assumption. Notice your reactions to the world. And so one of the ways that I want you to do this is with this deliberate experiment. You want to develop attitude money. And so, again, what do? We start with a $10 bill, a $10 banknote. You put it in a special place in your wallet, and you promise to never, ever spend it. Within 30 days, I want you to double it. Okay? You know, add another $10 to it. Turn it into a $20 banknote. And again, put it someplace special in your wallet. Someplace where you can see it if you want to. That's fine. If anything, that's a bonus point. And know that you never, ever have to spend it. That's your attitude money. You know that you have money that you never need to spend. So, if you want bonus points with this, and this is really, really cool. So we started with $10, right? Remember that the mind has this amazing capacity to relate to the numbers 2 and the numbers 10. You've got 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 feet, you know, 2 hands, 2 knees, 2 shoulders, right? And so when we talk to people and they say, I want to manifest $1 million, and we notice they're having trouble relating to $1 million, you know, there's almost no way they can effectively, you know, manifest it if they can't relate to it. On the other hand, they can relate to being financially secure. They can relate, well, some people can. Some people have problems there, and that's fine. But everybody can relate to, I have a dollar, and I can have $2. I have $10, and I can have $20. We can relate to doubling our money. We can relate to doubling our sales. We can relate to doubling our happiness. We can relate to getting twice as much done in half the time. The key is we've got 2 hands, 2 thumbs, 2 pinky fingers, 2 eyes, 2 ears. And so the mind can go, okay, I've got 1. I can close 1 eye and I can open 1 eye and notice there's a vast difference. So we want to play with this doubling up because the body, the mind, you know, in other words, your conscious and your unconscious minds both can relate to this. Start with 10, move it up to 20. Now, once you do to move that up to 20, if you want some bonus points, double it every 30 days till you have at least $100 in attitude money. This won't take very long because 10 goes to 20, 20 goes to 40, 40 goes to 80. And then you just toss in an extra 20 because, oh, yeah, that's easy to do now. And now you have a $100 banknote in your wallet. And that's attitude money. It's not your emergency money. Oh, just in case. Yeah, right. That's called poverty thinking. That's called worry. That's called Jesus abuse. That's called abusing your imagination. Stop it. Okay? And one of the ways to stop it is to do an exercise like this. By the way, once you have a $100 banknote in your wallet, what do you imagine it's like having 5 or 10 of those? You can do that. If you've gone from 10 to 20 to 100 over the course of a couple months, you can keep going. And this isn't no tricky way to save money for a rainy day. Why do you think people don't save money? Think about this. Well, you want to take some of that cold, hard cash that was hard for you to earn, and you want to save it in case there's a rainy day. There's a part of your mind that's going, rainy day, I don't want to think about rainy days. So I'm not going to save any money. And so since I'm not saving any money, I don't have to think about rainy days. And this is why almost nobody saves money. But why do people invest money? Why is it? You know, when I sit and I work with the wealthiest people that I can find, I find that they willingly invest money. They'll go, yeah, I'll skip a meal. I'll invest that $10 into a book. That makes sense. Because I'll learn from that book how to make $100 or that recording or that program. I'll invest $10 to make $100, and then I can buy 10 meals. And I can keep creating more money. Because they imagine potential. They imagine, all right, it's okay to skip a meal. It's a good idea to skip a meal. Scientists nowadays say that fasting once a week is a good idea. Skipping a meal once in a while will make you live longer. And investing in you will make it really, really worthwhile, you know? And this is all about investing in you, the real you. And the real you, again, you get to wrestle with these false ideas that have been literally implanted in your mind. Contamination. You're going to hear how Neville talks about that in this course. We've got over 50 lessons, by the way. We've developed 50 little lessons that you're going to hear me talking about. And you get a printout as well, which is pretty cool, of the basics. You know, we're not going to print me talking about it because that would take forever. But there's 50 lessons from Neville that you're getting in this course. Over 50, actually. And there's a quote of Neville's, and again, some exploration that we put around that, which is really darn cool. And again, the power from this comes from actually going from stones, because you can affect what Neville, you can take what Neville says as fact. That's nice. You can also begin to think about it. I wonder how imagining creates reality. And you can go through the mental motions of wrestling it around in your head. But you've got to do the wine bit. You've got to go from stone to water, mental understanding to wine. You know, facts, mental understanding, facts are stones. Mental understanding is water. And actually the conversion is wine. Jesus converted water into wine. That's what we're here to do. And again, this tiny little exercise, the reason we start the program with that is because, you know, when you notice, when you take the time to do an exercise like this, not only is it cool to open up your wallet and find $500 there at any one time, it's also pretty darn cool to know, you know what, I've wrestled with the demon. I've wrestled with it. I've wrestled with this thing that, oh, what if I might need to spend that $10? You know what, I've had my $10, right? I've had my attitude money in my wallet, and I've needed to spend it, quote unquote. And I've called friends. Hey, listen, I need a couple bucks. Will you help me out? Yeah, sure. No probs, you know? Or I just decide, you know what, I'm going to get creative and make something happen here. Okay? I will create the money. I'm not going to spend the attitude money. You can have so much fun with this. And again, this takes this whole idea of Jacob wrestled with his angel, you wrestling with your imagination, and it makes it real. It makes it now, and it makes it on your terms, because you're not waiting for the imagination to pop up something. You're deciding, you know what? I'm going to have this attitude money. And then you get to watch the imagination react to you. Oh, no, you're not. What if you need to spend it? Oh, yeah. And have fun. And again, notice where your limits are with this. If you want to get some more bonus points, maybe $10 is easy for you. $20 might be easy. $100 might do your head in. $1,000 might be what you think is unattainable, quote unquote. Notice where your limits have been, because you're going to blow right past them by doing exercises like this. So let's have fun, dive in, and I'll be back in just a moment with the first introduction. So I want to know, why aren't you doing your sessions? As we go into the introduction to the course, what I want to know is why you're not doing your daily sessions, or why you aren't eagerly anticipating doing them. Think about this. If you could take 15 to 30 minutes a day, and with very little effort, feel great, guaranteed, would you do that? You see, you can do that every day with your Feel It Real sessions. You can schedule in 15 to 30 minutes of simply feeling great. And that simply feeling great is going to ripple into the rest of your life. It's going to grow and it's going to change things. Now, I share that at this point because one of the things that I've noticed is 80% of the people that I meet through the free Neville site and elsewhere simply aren't doing daily scheduled sessions. In other words, that, you know, by the way, you couldn't stop me from doing my sessions. I do a little one in the morning, I do one in the afternoon, and I do one at night. At the very least, I do 3 sessions a day. Now, as soon as I say that, again, let's go back to the experiment that we've started the course with. I've had people say, well, I don't have the time. Really? That's just where I'm going to leave that at. You really don't have the time? You see, we're going to add a twist to this. And it may shock you. The reason why people tend not to develop prosperity or get results with Neville Goddard's teachings is they're not going from the water to the wine phase. They're simply not doing their sessions, or they're doing their sessions in a way that's not the way that Neville said to do them. Again, we take apart the words of Neville, and we share, you know what Neville says, you know, imagine there's a ladder in front of you. Now close your eyes and feel yourself going up that ladder. It's not make a movie of you going up the ladder. It's you see the ladder in front of you, close your eyes, and now feel yourself climbing it. What do you see? Again, that tiny little distinction, taking your body out of the movies, exponentially increases the probability that your sessions are going to work. The problem is most people aren't eagerly looking forward to doing their sessions every day, and most of them aren't doing sessions every day. They might think, oh yeah, wouldn't it be cool if I climbed the ladder? but they don't take the time to actually climb the ladder. Okay, and that's not just a metaphor. Honest to God, what we're doing is we're climbing ladders inside of our mind, climbing up to new levels of happiness and prosperity, but you've got to climb the ladder. Not have a movie of you climbing the ladder, by the way. You've got to climb it. Okay, so let's explore some of this. This is really cool. So if you could take the 15 to 30 minutes a day and feel wonderful guaranteed, would you do it? And unfortunately, most people will say yes, but they will not do it. I do it every day, weekends, holidays, day in, day out. It's changed my life. Okay? So why is it that people have refused to do their daily sessions? Okay, now think about this. I'm going to share three questions here. These are very important. You may want to underline these or write them down. Why have you refused on a regular basis? By the way, if you're doing your sessions, that's great, but this is still going to apply in a very interesting way, so buckle up, okay? Enjoy. Why have you refused? These are the questions I ask people. Why have you refused to do your daily sessions? Why have you refused on a regular basis to imagine good stuff instead of worrying about crap? Okay? Why have you refused to take the time to be thankful for the good stuff, giving you a break from semi-consciously grumbling about everything? And the third question, why have you not inside your mind taken the time to be congratulated for your accomplishments instead of worrying about being put down, criticized, argued with, and other conversational crap? Okay, in other words, why aren't you doing your sessions? There's an addiction to crap going on. Now, I want you to think about this, because this is really, really cool. This all comes down to identifying what you truly are and realizing when you're not doing that. So there are two levels of crap addiction. Number one is the addiction to constant crap. I've got a family member or two, and you know what? They're addicted to constant crap. Honest to God. The question they must ask themselves first thing in the morning is, what crap am I going to crap on about today? Because every day, all day, anytime they call, it's focused on some sort of crap. Something didn't go as well as they wanted. Something happened. Every day, all day, is focused on crap of some sort. And often, that's where people come from before they find the Neville Goddard teachings. Okay, often that's where a lot of people in the world come from their entire lives. They come from a state of constant crap. And what happens, as you explore the teachings, something shifts. You go from a level of being addicted to constant crap, actually not you, but we'll get to that in a second. We go from the level of addiction to constant crap to the addiction of cycles of crap. Now I want you to think about this. Okay, cycles of crap is alternating good stuff and bad stuff. In other words, things are trucking along really good, but it seems like just when, right? You see, at this stage, crap shows up on a pretty predictable cyclic basis. In other words, every Friday night at 7 o'clock, there's going to be some crap. By the way, you can notice when people call. I used to have people call me on the phone, every Wednesday at noon. It was like every Wednesday at noon, the phone would ring roughly, and it would be one of those family members. Oh my God, you'll never guess what happened. I said, hold on, it's time for the crap call. What do you mean? I said, you call every Wednesday about noon. No, I don't. I said, yeah, you do. Okay, I notice it. You don't. You don't plan it, but it's that. And by the way, this is not judgmental. This is what's really cool. It's liberating. So we get into the addiction of cycles of crap. In other words, good, 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 bad. Good, 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 bad. Good, 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 bad. Right? That kind of thing. And that's fine. But what I want you to notice is that this is a level of progress, but crap still seems to run the show. So here's the deal, and this is probably the most important phrase in this part of the recording. Something inside of you is addicted to crap. And I want you to think about this. Something inside of you is addicted to crap. You know, when Neville says, Jesus Christ or God, and he wants to know, where did your mind go? Did you picture a guy? Okay. Did you picture something or someone outside of you? If you did that, you failed the test. Well, this one's pretty similar. Ready? Something inside of you is addicted to crap. Do you know what it is? If you said it's your body, you're right on. You see, your body is inside of you. You're not inside of your body. Okay? Your body is inside of you. Okay, we've got a very special Neville Goddard recording as a part of this package. And when you listen to it, again, it's going to reinforce everything that we share here. So something inside of you is addicted to crap, and that something is your body. You are not your body. Your body is inside of you. You are the consciousness that, among other things, animates the body. Okay? We are part of the consciousness that animates everything. And so what we get to do is we get to discover that we are what animates the body. We are what chooses the state for us to live in. Your body can addicted to crap. Okay? Your body can get addicted to crap, whether it's constant crap or whether it's cyclical crap, but you can't. And we're going to cover the science about that right now. You see, Dr. Candace Pert, for those people out there that think this is all new agey woo-woo stuff, Dr. Candace Pert, neuroscientist and pharmacologist, she wrote a book called Molecules of Emotion. And in that, she basically explored the world of neuropeptides. And what that basically means, cutting it down really, really fast for you, is this. In your body, okay, chemical soup is produced that, yeah, every state has its own unique mix of chemical soup. And what happens is, just like a heroin addict, just like an alcoholic, just like someone who smokes, by the way, just like someone who likes salt on their food or spicy food, we get addicted to chemicals. Well, we don't. The body does. So the body gets addicted to chemicals. So every now and then you have to eat hot food or put so much salt on your food, or you have to experience the emotion of frustration or anger or poor me. Okay? Like I said, I've got a family member that's so stuck in poor me. They'll find all sorts of reasons to say poor me. Oh, it was too hot. It was too cold. Oh, it was almost just right, but not like the one I had when I was a little girl. What, 55, 60, 70 years ago? Right. Okay, we'll try to find the same one for you. Okay? Think about this. Your body is addicted to the chemical soup that it has routinely experienced. For some people, it's constant crap soup that they're addicted to. And literally, for them to get out of that, for their body to get out of that, there's going to be some sort of withdrawal. And that's fine. That's what the body has to do, right? On the other hand, okay, once we get so far, there's some place in the body, you know, the body just wants to experience an upset. And so it'll generate the circumstances for an upset. And by the way, if you think this is all nice in theory, or, well, it's not really Neville Goddard, really, check this out. What I want you to do is to take $10, put it in your wallet, and make it your attitude money. And in 30 days, double that. And if you think that you're 100% in charge, which you are, but you're not, because as long as you identify with your body, anytime you identify with your body or the physical world, which is what we create, it's not what we are, you're going to get into the, well, what if I have to spend it? Oh my God, I can't afford to put $10 back in my wallet. It's a hoot. But we will create crises. We will create arguments. There are people that show up on the site and they send me emails arguing about everything. And it's like, man, I'd hate to be them. I see them not having to argue with everything, but odds are, by the way, a lot of people that email me, right, they don't realize that I can take their email and look them up on the internet. And then I find them in forums and other public places where, you know what they do? They argue with everyone. They're addicted to the neuropeptides, the chemical soup of argument. And the good news is, you know, we can help them stop that. They can help themselves stop that. And there's a couple ways we can do that. One, you just hold in mind the people that you love, not addicted to their chemical soup anymore. And you'll notice that that gives them the invitation to stop that. Again, Neville says, when we hold in mind something for someone else, we're inviting them to a new state to live from. We're inviting them to a new state to at least visit. So think about this. Notice this. Notice that people's bodies all around you, including yours, is addicted to some sort of crappy soup. And literally, this shows up in wealth. The purpose of this program is prosperity. And literally, we get addicted to we get addicted to poverty, and we get addicted to prosperity consciousnesses. In other words, there's a chemical soup that tends to go along with poverty. Oh, well, nothing will be the same or different. It's just the way it is. And then we amp up a little bit and get so frustrated. I wish I had more. If it wasn't for that greedy guy that charges 95 cents for something, my world would be different. So we put blame on something out there in the physical universe. That's fine. We get addicted to those states. We don't. The body does. The body gets addicted to the low energy state, then it gets addicted to the high energy crappy state, because it's got to cycle around a little bit between the states, right? And again, at some point, you get beyond just being addicted to crappy states, and you get to get, gosh, you know what? I can actually enjoy a series of really good states, right? Good, bad. That's all right. Okay? Because at some point, it goes good. And by the way, someone's going to complain about that. I'll guarantee it. You sung off key in your recordings. I do not like that. I will not buy any more. Right. Some people are addicted to scanning for mistakes and problems and stuff they don't like. Reasons not to succeed because this guy sung and that's the reason why, he didn't even sing well, but this is why I won't succeed. So we get addicted, the body gets addicted to chemical soups that are associated with states. And if you want to read up more about that, just Google Dr. Candace Pert. And if you don't, that's fine. Again, this stuff's good to read about. That'll give us water. Okay, water's good. Okay, stone is fact. Water is that intellectual understanding. But what it really comes down to, again, is are you going to do your sessions? And are you going to do them in a way that you look forward to them? Gosh, that'll change your life. Let me take a tiny break. I'll be right back. Okay, so let's just keep rolling. Thank you for pausing with me for a moment. Now, let's talk about looking in the wrong direction, because I just got a phone call from a friend of mine, and she says, you know what I just did? I feel wonderful. I said, wow. Okay, cool. What's up? So she says, I just went to this practitioner who tapped on points and helped me release my deep hidden beliefs that were holding me back, right? So I'm like, okay, that sounds like fun. So she goes to this practitioner, which helps her release these deep hidden beliefs that were holding her back, right? Now, here's the deal. I asked her, I said, how are your sessions going? She goes, I really haven't been doing them. I said, oh, okay, that's cool. So why not? She goes, I don't know. I mean, I felt I needed to get something else out of the way first. And so she went to someone to have them tap on her body in a specific way to get rid of some deep hidden beliefs so that, she'll get results. Well, since then, she still is doing the same old thing. She's not doing her sessions. She's just looking for other things. She called me up and told me about another practitioner that she found that does something pretty cool. But she's working with all this stuff with the physical body. And there's nothing wrong with working with stuff for the physical body. But she's got a level of incongruence in there where it's like, okay, there's doing something to the body. And you see, she really doesn't believe that she is the animating force. She says, I believe, imagination creates the reality. Actually, she says, I believe that visualization creates reality. Well, no, it's imagination that creates reality. Okay? There's a big difference between visualization and imagination. Visualization is one of the things the imagination does, but imagination creates reality. And we get to explore that. But her actions don't work with that. Her actions are, if I get this physical thing done, then that will remove deep hidden beliefs that are outside of my awareness. And then, just wrestle with your angel. Just decide you're going to wrestle with your angel. Sit down there and do the work. Go beyond the intellectual understanding. You see, if you look in the wrong direction, deep hidden beliefs, odds are you're not going to get that far. On the other hand, let's talk about assumptions. Neville Goddard had some very basic assumptions that you'll hear in the recordings and you'll read in all of our articles that are very basic, but we've really got to live by them, okay? Some of Neville's basic assumptions, and again, we covered some of this, I believe, in Imagine Neville Goddard Simplified, but let's cover it a little bit differently here. First, you are not your physical body. You are consciousness. You are animation. You are imagination. You are what animates the body. You are not your physical body. See, I got to notice recently when I was sick that, my body was sick. at any point in time, I could stop experiencing the sickness. Yeah, the body might still be doing what it's doing, but I can enter into a pleasurable state in a heartbeat. Literally. You're not your physical body. You are consciousness. You are the imagination. And so I can leave the body to do what it needs to do, to go through the healing crisis that it needs. That's fine. Okay? And sometimes I can even change the speed at which it heals. Sometimes I can't. That's fine. But you're not your physical body. That's a primary assumption that we need to adopt to use the methods of Neville. Again, we don't have to clean up deep hidden beliefs. We just have to adopt some pretty obvious assumptions. 2, imagination creates reality. You know, I have people that say, well, how do you know? Well, you know, let's go at the most basic level. I'm looking around me right now. I'm talking to this Blue Yeti microphone. I've got a laptop. I've got an extra monitor. I've got my mobile phone. I've got a little recorder. I've got a coffee cup in front of me. All of this stuff was first in someone's imagination, and then it was produced in this physical reality, quote unquote. Imagination does create reality. You know, if I imagine that I'm going to have a lovely conversation with my wife, that puts me in a state that's much more likely to hold a lovely conversation with my wife. And on the other hand, if I imagine that bum over there is going to bother me, instantly I get defensive and my body changes. And even my neuropeptides change, my pheromones change. In other words, the way I smell changes. My body language can change, so can yours. You imagine a tense situation and your body language changes. Your imagination does create the reality, literally from your body, which is the closest part of the universe to you out sometimes. You see, imagination does create reality. It creates the way you respond, quote-unquote, to reality. And that changes the way, quote-unquote, reality responds to you. We're talking about the physical world here, right? So again, we have to, you know, really adopt this assumption that imagination creates reality. And it does it on a bunch of other levels, too. But let's just start there. 3, you are greater than any state. Neville repeats this time in and time out, and people go, well, you know, if only I had a better state, then all my life would be better. Well, yeah, you can choose different states. But the thing is, you know, if you're choosing, well, you know, and again, this is really important, you are greater than any state. Somehow people fall into the state of poverty. Been there, done that. You can also choose the state of prosperity. Okay, been there, done that. And you know what? As far as I'm concerned, the state of prosperity is a heck of a lot nicer. Now, the thing is, I'm greater than either one of those states. Now, if I decide, oh, it's the state of prosperity that's going to make me happy, that turns me back into a junkie. I've got to go chase it. I've got to go make sure I keep it. I've got to make sure I've got to defend it. But if I realize, you know, because, oh, that's greater than me, that's the source of my happiness. That's BS, right? You get it? On the other hand, if I remember, I am greater than any state. You are greater than any state. That includes any state that you've ever been addicted to or fallen into. That also includes any state you choose to enter into. If you want more on this, get our book, Freedom. Yeah, Freedom is the one about states. A really, really good one. So you are greater than any state. You're greater than any state. And again, these are assumptions. Drop this whole idea that there's deep hidden beliefs that I must work on. Stuff that's outside of my awareness. Yeah, you can go that route. By the way, if you believe that's true, it will be true. And you'll be hunting for deep hidden beliefs forever. If you believe you have to have them worked on by someone else that charges you $500 an hour to tap on a couple points and teach you how to tap on a couple points just for you, because, I mean, there's special recipes for each person, guess what? That's great. God bless them, you know? I mean, that's what they're up to. But if you honest to God believe, 1, you are not your physical body. You are consciousness. You are imagination. You are the spark, the animating force. 2, imagination does create reality. And on the most basic level, it creates how you respond to the world at a much, much more amazing level. My God, it's amazing the stuff that shows up in our lives. Because we understand imagination does create reality. Every great guru has said the same thing. Consciousness creates reality. We live, this physical world is the world of illusion, the world of Maya, the world of the dream. Reality is consciousness. Every mystic has said that. And number three, you are greater than any state. You are greater than the state of poverty. You are greater than the state of riches. You get to choose the state that you live from. And to live from that state, okay, let's just add in a fourth. The fourth is getting real clear about what your job is. Neville says that you don't have to, Neville says not to do anything to make it happen. And so many people interpret that as do nothing at all, period. Well, you know, again, notice what Neville did. Neville imagined himself a great speaker and he got on the stage. Neville imagined himself out of the army and he did the paperwork. He also did his sessions around both of those things. Neville imagined himself, well, this is time and time again, the truth. And again, there are people out there that are addicted to argument, and they will argue with me against this day in and day out, instead of diving into the lectures and finding out what did Neville do. Now, you know, the fourth assumption is this. It's important that you notice how you react to the world. The fourth assumption is you must walk in the state of the wish fulfilled. Walking in the state of the wish fulfilled grounds it. Okay, that's the fourth assumption. Walking in the state of the wish fulfilled grounds it. And once it's grounded, it can't help but come forth. Okay, it's that simple. Neville says, notice how you react to the world. Are you reacting to the world as that man, as that woman that you choose to be? And if not, change how you're reacting to the world. Okay, we've got to do that. And again, it's a very simple assumption. So, let's dive in. My name is Mr. 2020. We're 36 minutes in. We've got one more little module with the introduction, and we're going to dive into the 50-plus lessons, and we've got a real special way we're going to explore the Neville Goddard recording in this one as well. So, let's have fun. I'm going to pause for a second and be back in just a few moments. So, let's wrap up the introduction, and we're going to wrap it up with a couple of these tiny little thoughts. Number one, one form of sickness is not worse than another. There is no order of difficulty in miracles. By the way, as far as I'm concerned, poverty is a sickness. So we get to notice something. Focusing on being less sick is still focusing on being sick. Focusing on being less poor is still focusing on poor, on poverty. Focusing on less of anything is focusing on less. Now, I want you to notice the loopiness of the words here, because this is often what people do. Because anything you focus on your life, anything that you focus on in life, anything that you focus on through life, expands. So focusing on less of anything just doesn't make sense. You see, what I want you to do is I want you to focus on, what are you thankful for? What I want you to focus on is, what is the potential here? What I want you to focus on is what you choose to have or be more of in life. You see, one of the things you're going to notice is changing your focus to having some attitude money, $10 to begin with, and then focusing on the power of doubling up. Because I want you to experience the power of doubling up, not just get it in theory. I'm focusing you not just on, you know, here's the facts. The fact is I have $10 attitude money. Okay, and then we can go to the principle. Well, there's a principle why we have the attitude money, and I understand why. Because if we have attitude money, then we have a better attitude about money. Yeah, that's right. Now, if we can talk about this thing of doubling up. Basically, teaching your mind, teaching your imagination what it feels like to double up the amount of money you have. Whether it's attitude money, whether it's income, I want you to get into practice of actually doing it so you can feel it. It's like it's literally, you know, a real simple way we've done this in courses is we tell people, I want you to make a fist with your left hand. Feel what it's like. Now I want you to make a fist with your right hand and feel what it's like. And I want you to open up one hand and then open up the other. I want you to double the number of fists that you have. One fist, two fists. I want you to double the amount of open hands that you have. Open up one hand, open up the other. This is a tiny little thing, but this is something you can relate to. You see, one form of sickness is not worse than another, and there is no order of difficulty in miracles. As we explore that, one of the things that we've noticed is this. If someone's sick, they can relate to sickness. And so the temptation is to focus on being less sick, okay? Not struggling as much. Not running out of money at the 25th of the month, but at the 27th of the month, okay? And it's important that we get beyond all that. It's important that we get to the point where we go, you know what? I can relate to having money that I never need to spend. I can relate to having double the amount of money than I had before. I can relate. It's important that this is going to teach you a couple things. It's going to teach you the power of doubling up. It's also going to teach you the power of there is no difficulty. It's no more difficult to have $100 in your wallet than you never spend than it is to have $10 in your wallet that you never spend. It's just attitude money. You never spend it. You know that you're never broke because you got it. Okay, whether it's $10, $100, or $1,000, but it sure feels good to have $1,000. It's no more difficult to have it sitting there in your wallet than it is to have $100 or $10 sitting in your wallet. But the process of opening up to it, that's what changes your life. So what I want you to do is this. Find what you can focus on, find what you can relate to, and expand it. If you can relate to financial security, you can manifest it. If you can relate to doubling up the amount of money that you have, you can manifest it. But if you can't feel it, if you can't relate to it, you can't feel it real. You got to find something that you can feel real about. If you can feel real about having a genuine conversation with someone, you can. Let's say it's of the same sex. You could generalize that into having, what's it feel like to have a general conversation with someone of the opposite sex? What's it feel like to have a genuine conversation with someone who I'm in a relationship with? What's it like? Because it all starts with something you couldn't relate to, a genuine conversation. So I want you to focus on what you choose to have in your life. By the way, when we talk about order of difficulty, we want to erase all verbs of difficulty from our vocabulary. It's not just what you want to have in your life, it's what you choose to have. You're going to, again, in the 50-plus Neville Goddard lectures that we explore in this series, you're going to notice something. Neville says, stop wanting, stop desiring it, and start living from it. Okay, that's somewhere around less than 25 or so. I don't have them numbered, so. But it's stop desiring. Stop desiring what you want, and start living from it. I choose to be the man who teaches these things. I don't want to be. I choose to be. Get it? That's a huge thing. And that removes this whole thing of order of difficulty. And it also gets to the point where you realize that you are the miracle. You are the miracle maker. Again, you're not the body. Let's always make sure we're noticing what our general assumptions are, not our deep hidden beliefs, but what our obvious assumptions are. Is it obvious to you that you're not the body? Is it obvious to you that God is within you, that you're greater than any state? Is it obvious to you that if that's true, you will be reacting to the world from that state? Is it obvious to you that when you stop desiring and start living from the state, that's when it shows up in your life? And that's when it blesses you. So that's it for the introduction. What I want you to notice is this. Listen to this several times. Okay, use the notes, don't use the notes, take notes. It's important that you have input and output. In other words, write out some of the stuff that you're learning. Speak it out loud, because getting it to go into your neurology does one thing. Getting it to come out through your neurology is another. Again, you're not your body, but you know, you might as well take care of your body, like you take care of your car, like you take care of your house. Your body is a vehicle. Your body is where your spirit tends to live on Earth here. So you might as well take care of it, and you might as well fully use it. Imagine if you had a car and you only made right-hand turns. That's called input, okay? Listening to stuff, reading notes. On the other hand, writing it out is like making left-hand turns as well. The car likes it, okay? If it only makes right-hand turns, it wears out funny. But making right and left-hand turns, that makes it a lot more adventurous compared to let's make another right turn, okay? So listen to this stuff multiple times. Take notes, write notes out. Notice how your notes change over time. Have some fun with this stuff. And remember, do your sessions, okay? And when I say that, I mean, God, when you really get how, if you actually create in you the feeling of the wish fulfilled, you can't help but, okay, I'm going to take 5 minutes into a session. Oh, I've got a smoke break at work. I'm going to go outside, smoke some tobacco. By the way, tobacco's not bad. There are people out there that think tobacco causes cancer. No, grumbling causes cancer. By the way, tiny little bonus lesson. I learned about smoking tobacco from my Native American elders. They called it the thank you plant, right? Every plant, according to them, had a consciousness, okay? Neville says something like this in the recording that you're going to listen to. So every plant had a consciousness. The consciousness of tobacco was thank you. You smoked tobacco with gratitude, and it brought people together. You know, they talk about the peace pipe. Well, the peace pipe was fueled by tobacco, the thank you plant. Being thankful brings peace into your life, right? It's all a state. So when people use the thank you plant and they're thankful, for some reason they're healthy. On the other hand, when they use the thank you plant and they grumble and it's like, oh, the boss, yeah, I got to smoke a cigarette, the boss, I got to clear my head. Oh, yeah, that's called abusing the tobacco plant. You can abuse any plant and hurt yourself. People do it all the time. On the other hand, my Native American mentor said that every plant had a consciousness. Every plant had a specific healing gift. Learn how to use them. Learn to become aware of them. And again, they taught me something. It wasn't the plant that caused cancer. It was the grumbling. Now, just ponder that. Secondhand grumbling. That's also why Neville's brother, which you'll read about, Neville's brother entertained no arguments. That's one of the lessons in the 50 or so that you're going to hear today, too. So let's dive in. Have a wonderful time. I thank you for investing in you, your prosperity. And again, we love your emails. Keep sending them. 2020@exhostage.com. That's 2020@exhostage.com. Have a wonderful day. We'll check you in or see you on the next recording.